Welcome, everybody. Just to refresh those that don't know me, Linda Nishioka, Vice Chair. Josh is not going to be at this meeting, so I get to do all of the opening exercises at least. And so it looks like we've got a couple more people that at least mentioned those come in. So I'd like to take roll. And I'll begin with Aaron Turpin, exercises at least, and Alan Pollock.
Here.
Thank you. And Vincenzo Maduri. Present, I see him. Tyson Iza.
I'm here.
Charles Weathers.
Here.
Quandre Robertson, not yet here. Linda Nishioka, present. Jordan Truitt, not yet here. And Summer is excused absent. All right. So I'm hoping everyone has reviewed the minutes from last meeting. Can we take a motion and second on approving the minutes, or does anyone have any edits that need to be addressed?
I would move to approve the minutes.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, so motion by Aaron and seconded by Alan. All those that approve, raise your hand or say yes.
Yes.
Any naysayers? Anybody not approving? All right, it passes. Action items.
We need to approve the agenda. I know it's just
thank you. See?
I know it's just a formal exercise, but.
You know what? I'm so glad you're here, Aaron. And
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Thank you. I don't even have to ask. Do I hear a second? I'll second it. Can I second it?
Technically no, not the chair. I don't know.
I'll second it.
All right. That was Vincenzo? Yes. Thank you. And so all those agree? Thumbs up?
Aye.
All right. And that and approval of the agenda passes. Now we'll get to action items. So, Cherie, do you have anything that you want to start there, or do you want to just go, since we have none, to just go to information?
I did want to thank Aaron. This is his term. He turns out.
Expired.
I have to say, I typically have not liked the Zoom meetings because I can't see everybody at the same time and we don't get our kind of connecting like we do in person. But this is the one time that I'm glad, considering those of you who have been on the board, there's something about when somebody's going off the board, I lose the professionalism and I become blubbery. So I think on Zoom, where I cannot see Aaron in person, I will be able to do better. So you're all reaping the benefits of that. But Aaron is just amazing. He has pretty much always volunteered to be on every committee that I've had to work on really tough issues and items. And he was on the committee with acquisition opportunities that we put together a structure for how we would look at those. He was on my grant subcommittee. He is the one who always asks tough questions and makes us all think during the budget discussions that we have. His leadership, I thank you so much for that. You have been chair a long time. You have some good people now that have stepped up, but you were always there in a strong leadership position. And I think just your love and support for the city in which you live and for downtown has just always been very appreciated, but just you as a person, I will miss not having you on the board. And you've done just so much in your job for downtown. The kinds of buildings that you've designed really have, you'll have a legacy here forever. So thank you so much for everything that you've done.
Thanks, Cherie. I'm definitely going to have to just come down and visit you from time to time. And just, somehow I'll vicariously live through those meetings and as if I'm still on DAB.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks. Yep.
Just, there's no words. Okay, see, now it's happening.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay, see, it's because your face is now in front of me really big. So anyway, thank you so much. Okay, so Linda.
Yes.
I guess, you know, the first thing I want to do is ask if any of the board members have any questions based on what I've given you, because I want to make sure that it's just not me talking, but that if there's something that you want to talk about, that we talk about it. So is there anything that you guys want me to specifically cover or give more background on if I can, or anything based on what I gave you?
Well, the recent document that you added with the additional projected costs, is there anything that you want to review over on that?
Well, that document is current. I just got that from facilities, and it's
okay.
Super, it's certainly easier and simpler than the other one I put in the packet. So I would just ignore that one. It has way more information that you need. This one presents itself in a lot simpler fashion. So one of the reasons why I wanted to share this information is a lot of you are new to the board, have not gone through a budget discussion process yet, and typically the finance manager comes to a board meeting, gives you a draft budget, and again, we have 90 minutes, they go through it, and then we have to make tough decisions. They then go back, look at what we talked about, and then they bring it back and we have to approve it. So we don't get a lot of time to really talk about it. But recently, during our meetings, there's been discussions about, we wish we had, you know, events in downtown. We wish we had money to support a downtown association, kind of revving up for, we're going to have this budget discussion and these things are going to come out again and we'll be looking at insufficient funds to do anything but barely cover the essential costs of operating the district. So that was the other thing I thought we could, just managing expectations, I wanted to let you know early on kind of where we're heading in regards to the funding that we'll have. I think the other piece is that I don't think we're going to have ARPA money, the federal money, next year. So obviously that filled a gap this year. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't have enough to operate the district. So I'm already trying to start those conversations about, if we don't have that, and it is what it is, the costs are the cost, where might we be looking at funding to fill? We're going to have a gap for next year. So is there anything I need to be doing or preparing to make sure that gets on everybody's radar? Obviously, we can't pay with Riverfront for operating costs, so then it falls back into general fund or I mean, we don't have that many line items that are 200-ish plus and 1,000 that we could remove, I guess, with the exception of police. And I guess that will be, you know, one of the questions that all in regards to when we put together a draft to come back to you probably in February for your consideration. Right now, we fund two police officers out of the parking fund budget, and it's about $200,000. So what are you all thinking about this information?
Are you saying that we fund as in like pay the salary up to? Mm-hmm. Or
portions of salary up to. They used to reside here in our office before the new police facility was built, but now they're there.
Isn't it also some of the surrounding costs, not just their actual salary? I believe it's probably benefits and things, because $200,000, of course, seems a bit high, but I'm sure it's, you know, taxes and benefits as well.
All of it. It'd be all inclusive.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that ties to this is that the streetscape that we've been doing, and we've been paying for that out of riverfront. The consequence of not having any money in the parking fund budget touches that also, because riverfront money cannot pay to keep those new landscaped areas maintained. That would come out of parking fund budget.
Okay.
So I think most of you get tired of me saying, remember, urban renewal funds can pay capital costs. I could pay to put the pay stations in downtown. I could pay for a trolley car. I cannot pay for the operations of it. So that would have to come from a parking fund. So I've already been experiencing, we put in landscaping and it does not look good because there is no good ongoing upkeep of it. So as we move forward with the next phases of streetscape, I've already been talking to the project manager saying, I think we have to hold back on doing any kind of plantings. We're just gonna have to bark it, which is not at all what we wanted for our vision, because I don't have any way to take care of it. So instead of it being a beautification, I get the complaints about why isn't it being kept up. So some of these things tie together, no different than these major maintenance or the capital needs that I sent you out today. You know, next year, you know, they're proposing $575,000 in capital needs for the parking structures.
Wow.
Okay. I think, I don't know, Alan, were you on the board when Jim Bauer was on the board and facilities came in and gave the presentation on the parking structures were in poor condition and the board asked facilities to come back with a plan to get them to good condition, to share how much it would cost to go from poor to good. And the board then made the decision to take money from Riverfront to take care of the major capital costs in the parking structures. And I think over time it was close to $6 million, and that was a hard pill to swallow. Because the parking district should be self-sufficient and pay for itself. However, when you go to do the parking fund budget, you don't look at what would you need to do across the board to increase the revenue to get it to cover it, because it would be too much of an increase for the parking tax and for parking permits, because historically there's been many, many years where it was never increased due to politics. So it's a broken model. But Alan, were you part of those discussions?
You know, the scenario sounds familiar. I don't remember if I was part of the discussion or I just heard the stories when I came back. Jim and I didn't really overlap all that much.
Okay. Well, I know Jim did a presentation to council at one time about the challenges of the parking district model. So it's been a long time ongoing issue that it's not self-sufficient. I think once we got all of the major improvements done and we increased the permits, we had 2 years maybe, Aaron, where we were able to put a small amount in a reserve, because there were no big costs like we're seeing again as far as capital improvements. So the other reason why I wanted to start this conversation is, you know, are we going to have to look at Riverfront budget when we have those discussions to cover cost of keeping the parkades in good condition? I will be asking facilities about the urgency for some of these items, but I'm going to be honest with you, I do not want my legacy to be what I inherited in regards to staff kicking the can on things that needed to be done, waiting for it to be so bad that then there was nothing to do other than pay $6 million. I really don't like the thought of that, but at the same time, I'm not as close to it to know, do we need that right now? But if you look into the future, I don't know where all of a sudden we're going to have $575,000 that we don't have, you know, the year before. So again, part of this is just kind of preparing you and wanting to hear what you're thinking.
Great.
In regards to all this. Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking, let's say we made a recommendation, let's say council agreed, let's say there was general support. How long would it take to implement paid parking? Even if it was like, you know, next Monday council voted to put in meters and do paid parking downtown, I imagine there would be some time before they were all, you know, purchased and shipped and installed, and then the revenue actually was coming in, and then, you know, things actually, you know, the budget actually started to balance a little. I mean, if you had to guess, is that like a year process? Is it 6 months?
So I think that's a good question, because again, let's look at Riverfront. So we would be looking at Riverfront to pay for the equipment. $1.5 million, $2 million, I think that's what the estimate would be. So we would be looking at Riverfront to pay for the equipment to install it, but Riverfront could not pay the monthly operating costs. And there are costs for pay stations. So, because we've done 3 phases of pay stations around the Capitol Mall and expanded it. And yes, the pay stations come from Sweden, I think. It comes from Calais in Sweden. They're called Flowbird now. So yes, you have to get in the queue, place that order, have the money to put behind it, wait for those containers to come in, get them installed, and then we would have to have a transition period between continuing to take the parking tax, because until we actually have the revenue from the pay stations, you have to have some money to operate it. So probably, and then we would want to close the the parking district, and that would be a process. So probably 24 months to 36 months in a perfect world.
Cherie, what is the, so are there funds in Riverfront that could acquisition? Or, because I don't know what that budget, what we have there.
Okay, so let me look at that budget. So we have, I have so much stuff in front of me. So we have a line item called committed to future projects that, and I'm looking at the budget that is in the budget book, of $9 million.
Okay. So I know that we have discussed making the recommendation to City Council to add parking meters. I know we've discussed it. Have we not made that formal in the sense of strongly suggesting it? I know the council is still in the back. I mean, I believe that they either have discussed it or everyone kind of knows that this is definitely coming. So I'm not sure, do we make another recommendation?
So this will be repeat to some of you. We had a parking task force and council approved. Actually, council's approved twice putting paid parking in downtown. Once in like, and in fact, it was supposed to be put in by 2009. I think they approved it like in 2007 or 2008 prior to when parking was with me. I've seen the documents, they approved it, they had a plan, the staff at that time had a plan of putting it in place. It was supposed to be in place by 2009, obviously that did not happen. We then had a parking task force and we moved forward the recommendation for putting a paid system in downtown and several other, I think there was 11 or 12 recommendations. Council approved them all. Someone set up a petition process and council then, actually council accepted the initiative petition, and in that was no paid parking, no actually parking restrictions. So those of you that were here remember going from a 2-hour parking to unlimited parking on street. As soon as that happened, the closer it got to the holidays, the businesses all showed up at council and said, we have to have time limits put back in place. Everybody's just staying all day in the on-street parking. We don't have enough turnover. We're losing business. And council turned around and put 3 hours in, not the 2 hours. So I think when this has come up, I think I've shared with all of you that we, you know, the board is advisory to council and the agency board, so we work at their direction. My understanding is that the reason why we haven't made any traction on paid parking is that because of the reason why council chose to not move forward with it, because of the businesses, that in order for council to consider it, it would need to come from the businesses. The businesses would need to say, we want paid parking. And I think that would be because council would want to have that support, mm-hmm. and know that if they moved that forward, they wouldn't end up with the situation that they had before, where somebody does an initiative petition and you know, 1,000 people say they don't want it. So I think that that's why we're in the moment that we're in, with the mayor not running again and with the number of councilors changing. there may be an opportunity, and certainly with the parking fund being in the situation that it is, I'm certainly passing that on to make sure that people understand this is not, it has not been a sustainable model for a long time.
Thank you.
That's my opinion.
For some of the reasons you just gave, you know, council changing, and I think also the council has shown a, you know, a bit of a backbone when it comes to things that they feel strongly about, agree or disagree. They've, you know, withstood some pretty harsh criticism, at least in meetings I've been in, where there were, you know, widespread opposition to something that they were considering, and they went forward with what, you know, they thought was the right thing. So to me, it seems I'm agreeing it might be a good time to, I don't know how we initiate it again.
Again.
Other than writing a letter again, or I mean, I can certainly talk to a few counselors and just kind of, you know, gauge the temperature there. But it does seem like a good time in terms of many of the businesses downtown have shown a willingness to take out parking for, say, the outdoor seating for restaurants, which I think just a few years ago, they would have said no way, because at that time they thought the few parking spaces were the most precious thing in the world. And so maybe, I'm thinking that maybe the general temperature has changed a little and people might be more open to the idea. I know not everyone is going to agree. Probably some of the same voices who were in opposition many years ago will still be there. But I'm just thinking through that. If you know, said person does a petition again and random people who are just walking up to Isaac's for coffee are asked, hey, do you want free parking or do you want to pay for parking? Oh, I guess I want free. And they sign the petitions. Well, maybe the council will not, you know, fold under that this time. Alan, looks like you want to say something. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, thanks. I should know the answer to this, but I don't. But is the draft climate action plan address paid parking at all? And is that an avenue to
That's a most excellent question, and they even did a cost-benefit analysis, because I think they saw that as low-hanging fruit, and that is something that could help move this forward, in that it's coming to council in another messaging. But yes, that consultant took and did a separate analysis to show that it was feasible, financially feasible, to do that downtown. I mean, obviously we knew that, but they did it as part of that particular plan. So yes, very much so. Yep.
That could be the opener then. Once the council approves it, then we could follow on and say, in alignment with your plan you just adopted, we're recommending that option, or whatever they call those recommendations, whatever they call it, in the plan.
Great idea.
Yes, great idea. Thank you, Alan.
Would that be something that we need to, as like a group, create something to present to them? Or is it more, what's kind of the idea? Maybe I just misunderstood.
Well, in a perfect world, they would direct us. You know, they would direct staff, or they would direct the advisory board to look at and bring back a plan for implementing paid parking to address the goals of the climate action plan, or who knows what. I mean, I think the other thing, Aaron, right now that's going on is that I've actually had a business meet with me because they want paid parking. And they think that there is a real movement for paid parking, and they wanted to know what the process was to start a petition for paid parking. Now, in a perfect world, it doesn't get much better than that, because if a business gets the businesses, then it totally jump starts it. So we'll see if that business moves forward with talking to their neighbors and getting a petition signed and moving that forward. Because if it comes from them, it has a lot more weight. And
do you feel comfortable sharing who that was, or is it?
It actually was Scott Cycle on Commercial Street.
Okay. So
she was, Dawn was very passionate, and I walked up what the legal process would be for that. But she felt that the vibe in downtown was more for it than against it. I mean, we all know the four people that have always been against it. So we'll see if the voices of the other, you know, can outdo the four. And I think, you know, in hindsight, Aaron, you know, it's different if somebody stands on the corner and says, would you love hanging flower baskets? Would you love holiday lights? Would you love, you know, to be able to have a revenue source that would pay for events and marketing and who knows what, versus do you want free versus, you know, paid? Because, you know, if you go on the city of Pasadena's website and you look at parking, because they were one I researched way back when we were hoping to maybe go to paid, they had just gone to paid. And when you go to their website, it basically tells you what you get. Because that's certain, you can tell that in order for it to work in that community, they had to give something to the businesses and to the public for that expense. So I think, you know, you would have to be able to message, what am I getting for it?
Yeah, I think that that's it's a really valid point, because this town wants to get stuff for what they give, if that makes sense. That's it. So yeah, I agree. Putting together some kind of pamphlet or something that is very visible throughout, you know, or is it, you know, something that the businesses come together to put on their windows in a way that they do other things, like your support Salem, or, you know what I'm saying, like something that makes people feel good about doing that, rather than we're doing it because we want to, you know.
I mean, we know what the list is of things that we don't right. have. I mean, right. but I don't, the, but I don't the, think we've power washed the sidewalks.
Right.
For 7 years. I mean, if a property owner doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. Same with sweeping the alleys. Same with, you know, we talk about, you know, security. Well, if you want to have somebody walking up and down the sidewalks or have a different presence, you have to have money.
Right.
If you want ambassadors or I don't know, whatever you want, you have to have money.
So where did you say that was? I apologize that I missed it. Where is that kind of template that you said would be, they have on their website that we could...
Vincenzo, are you not hanging on every word I'm saying? I mean, come on.
I know.
I'm so interesting. No, Pasadena.
Pasadena, okay. Yeah that would be great to just, you know, don't recreate the wheel. Utilize what has worked for them.
Yeah, because when we were looking at it with the parking task force, I interviewed City of Tacoma, because they were very similar to us. They had tried, I think, 10 different times to get paid parking, and the only way they were able to do it was their city manager convened a 36-member task force. I can't imagine what that would be like, but the chamber played a key role. So the chamber is the one who worked with the businesses. The businesses did not want it, but the chamber got behind it. The chamber is the one who stood on the corners when the paid systems were put in and helped customers and helped the businesses. Basically, the chamber is the one who saw the benefits for Tacoma for doing that. So when I called the businesses in addition to the city staff and the chamber, I was surprised that 100% of the businesses I called, and I think it had been in place 3 years, they all said it made such a big difference, they were so much more successful, but that they were not supportive of it in the beginning. So it was very interesting. They all thought that it would hurt their business going from free to paid, and they said it was just the opposite. But that's, you know, unless I have them here to give their testimony, it's, you know, it's a government person, you know, relaying it. But I was very surprised at the research at that time, what I found out. Kind of like, can we try it before you're against it?
Well, not only do they get, you know, the I know it's based on what their square footage is, but they get the benefit of not paying the tax anymore, right? The business.
It would
eventually,
be, yes.
It gets phased out.
Yes, yes.
And
I remember most businesses pay the minimum,
yeah,
which is $469 a year. But you have somebody that, you know, well, obviously when we lost Penny's and Nordstrom's, so our big one still would be Kohl's, you know, that's paying a significant amount. But yes, it would be a huge savings to a business like that.
And then they also presumably get more turnover, more customers, because the parking spots are freeing up more often because people aren't lingering and standing for 3 hours just because they can. They're going to be more conscientious of their time. Yeah.
Well, we just did a parking utilization study, and again, for those of you that are new, we religiously did that every single year. Every single year, we had money to keep tabs on the efficiencies of downtown parking. And since 2007, we met all the criteria to do paid system. Because we were unable to move that forward, I don't know how many years ago was it, Aaron, one of the board members said, let's not pay for that anymore because we're not able to do anything with the recommendations. It made sense. The recommendations were the same every single year. You hit all the thresholds, you should move forward with paid parking. You hit all the thresholds, but we couldn't do anything. So we're just like, we don't need the data anymore. Because we used a consultant many times to inform the board on how the system operates and what we should do to be more proficient. And we did implement some of those things. Obviously, we changed the signage out. We put in a barcade sensor. I mean, I think the other thing that's interesting is that the consultant recommends 2 hours because basically the average stay of a person in a parking stall is like an hour and 45 minutes. So 3 hours is more than what the, you know, average parker needs. And we usually have 6 different vehicles use a parking space a day, which is very efficient turnover of a parking space. So I will be bringing that information to you soon when that gets done also, because we haven't had one, but we wanted to see after the pandemic, impacts from the pandemic, how that looked, what that change is. So, and to support a paid system if we needed that data because of the timing of when we were hoping we could move things forward. So
again,
go ahead.
But when you're talking about, when you guys go into talking about your budget, which I won't be here for that, you're going to be trying to reconcile it with whether, even if a paid parking was approved by council tomorrow, it's not actually going to be implemented for a couple of years. So, which makes it even more urgent to get it done, but at the same time, you still have some tough budget conversations ahead. Sorry, downer. But there is.
How do you think I feel? The last 2 years have been downers. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I'm just going to think out loud here. I don't know, good idea or not, but it's like, you know, when you are considering moving money from URA to cover expenses that are supposed to be, you know, covered by a self-sufficient parking system that's broken currently, are you really just, you know, you're just continuing to band-aid a problem that, you know, you're not really solving anything? And in fact, what comes to my mind is like when, you know, parents finally get fed up with their kids, you know, always cleaning their kids' messes, and they finally realize that the only way to get the kids to clean their messes is to not clean it for them. Because as long as you keep cleaning up their mess, then, oh, everything's fine. I don't have to change. I don't, again, maybe not a great idea, but I'm just kind of thinking, like, you continue to dip into URA to cover something that's broken, well, that broken thing never gets fixed because you just keep, you know, doing this patch that's not really addressing the problem. So anyway, that's maybe an aside, but.
It's a good point, Aaron, because that's what it feels like we've been doing, is we've just been trying to band-aid the budget and fingers crossed, we keep hoping that something will happen, and it hasn't. And it's just, if it does take as much time as Sharia said, 2 years, I mean, what are we going to do for those 2 years?
So, Aaron, the difference between what you said and kind of, for me, is the tough love thing, as far as if the kid doesn't pick up their room and I don't pick it up anymore, there's no consequence. The kid can just live in it. To me, it's a little bit different than the parking structures, because we have people to pay to use the parking structures. And we have businesses that pay a tax, even though it's not sufficient to cover the cost, for their customers to use. So it's not just me who's paying the consequence, for it's others that have to endure.
And I think, I'll chime in, I think that maintaining the parking structures, especially when it's like, you know, I mean, it's not technically a capital expense because it's maintenance, but it, I mean, those represent a very large investment of capital, and my feeling is maintaining those is a little bit different conversation than, say, cleaning team, police, all the other things that we want but we can't have because we have a broken system. I think those are the things that have to go, you know, by the wayside until we can get paid parking. I think maintaining a parking structure, I mean, if you don't maintain it and it falls apart, and yeah, you're just creating a bigger capital expense later. So yeah, I didn't mean that in regard to maintaining a large investment.
I appreciate that clarification, because I get asked that all the time. Stop, I guess I'm told, stop going around and shutting the trash cans. Stop picking up the trash. I've had 3 of the Rubbermaids stolen this week, and I've had to go replace them. With the rain, they fill up with water when they pull them out. I can hardly get them back in. But I think, I mean, people say that to me because if I didn't do it, then if you want to know what it's going to look like, yeah, I mean, that's something to think about. I mean, so your recommendation, the board's recommendation this year, is we're not paying for cleaning. There's $77,000 right there. We don't pay for cleaning. What's it going to look like? I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, if we don't pay for the cleaning, then I'm not going to have the trash hauling costs because I don't have anybody putting all that trash in these dumpsters out back. I don't have to try to get parks to come and pick up the bags of leaves off the sidewalk that I don't want to put in the dumpsters, because then I have overage charges in when they pick them up. Yeah. So every time a business calls and says, hey, I got these leaves, or hey, I got this, there will be, I don't have to worry about it. But again, I don't know how that will work with the businesses who pay the tax and have some expectation. It'd be a matter of, we can keep the parkades open for you, but we can't do the other. It would be interesting to see how that went. What are others of you thinking about an approach when you go through the budget discussion of taking out those types of things?
Henry, just really quick. Is the grant, the federal grant funds, covering last budget cycle or this upcoming budget cycle?
No, last. We're in this
last
moment.
One.
Yeah.
In this moment, and they're not coming next year. Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We have like $253,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if we're going to get technical, the city has an ordinance that says businesses and property owners are responsible for taking care of the sidewalk in front of their business. So, again, because there's an inconsistency in that, we've backfilled with having garden so that those that don't pick up, those that have vacancies, those that aren't there, we don't punish every visitor because of that. I mean, and in general, that ordinance isn't enforced because staffing doesn't have the ability to go around and find somebody if they're not keeping in front of their building clean. But that's the other side of it too. When you say the enabling piece, we've taken care of what technically, according to the ordinance, they're responsible for. There are businesses that are amazing and you could eat off the sidewalk in front of theirs, but unfortunately that's not the same for all. What's everybody thinking about that? I hadn't really thought about that, but.
Like, thought about the taking away certain things to see if it makes people want to support it more or something.
No, just if you have a gap,
mm-hmm.
and there's, you know, there's those types of line items. That's all
right.
Aaron's saying. You know,
right.
Would people be more motivated to think about the system being broken if we don't keep covering up the consequences of the broken system? So
just like thinking about this community and what we've learned and what we know so far, I think that it would just be more complaining. I don't think it would be like, oh, wow, we need to band together and do this together. It would just be like, well, why aren't they fixing this and why aren't they doing that? So that's what I would see or think would happen, unfortunately. Rather than it being a call to action, it would be a call to complain.
You know, Cherie, I would be curious to find out what local businesses here are aware that, I mean, you would think it'd be common knowledge, but what businesses are aware that is their responsibility to claim that, and there's, you know, there's rules that just haven't been, spoken to about that, and they just aren't aware of it. I'd just be curious to find out how many of those businesses exist in the downtown area.
Yeah, I have no idea how many.
Do you tell them
or not?
When people call you to complain about something, do you let them know that it's their responsibility, or do you just go complain?
Would you like to know what the owner of Rite Aid said to me when I said, that keeping the sidewalk clean around their building was needs to be a plan that they put together. I don't think you want to know
exactly
what they said. I look at that as similar to sandwich board signs. So in order to have a sandwich board sign out, you have to have a permit. And there is very specific rules to sandwich board signs out in front of your business. So when you walk around downtown and you see one out on the corner and that business is nowhere near that corner, okay, they have to be taken in at night. They can only be open when your business is open. Okay, I walk around 5 in the morning and I can tell you most of the sandwich board signs are just left out. It's the same thing, quandary, in regards to if we educate people, that doesn't mean it changes any behavior. If we have, you know, code go and start issuing fees, they're going to say it's so, they're so busy right now with dealing with the homelessness in the parks and stuff. I wouldn't even get there. I finally got their attention because Anderson's has been boarded up for so long. It's like, can a business stay boarded up forever? No. Obviously, through all the protests and things, I think there was some leniency from the city in case, you know, something percolated, but not now. And I know it took forever for me to get them to go through whatever their process is to notify that business that they should take the boards down to help the look and feel. And it was really bad when Coin Jam had it up and them, because they were next to each other. It was really kind of bad. But
so, Sheree, yeah. You know, and you know, I talk about this all the time, but is there a way to have a collaborative kind of opportunity with the city, with Chamber, with Travel Salem maybe, or, you know, some other kind of, you know, obviously the Main Street, to make this a group effort, like a, it just can't be done just through the city. It can't be, there has to be some kind of buy-in, and right now we all maybe feel the same way, but nothing's happening because we're all like, well, who should do it, or what's going to happen, or how does it happen? And, I don't, you know, collaboration's a key, I think, here. So that's my two cents on it. Ooh, my input. What I like from this discussion, what stood out was the little nugget of positivity. I'm saying, you know, if we were to stand outside Isaac's and ask people, do you want flower baskets? Do you want twinkle lights? Do you want more parties? Everyone's going to go, yeah, that sounds great. Instead, you know, we're talking about taking away a service and it getting trashy-er, and those are all such negative things. I mean, can we turn this around in any way and, you know, approach this from the positive side? I know that we can use that, wanting to have different language, you know, for the COVID money and calling it come back or whatever it was going to be, just to get out of the doldrums of, yeah, downtown can be messy, yeah, no one wants to pay, all these things. If we just phrase it differently, is there some way we can incentivize wanting to do this? And I know to me that means money, and that's the point of the conversation, so that's kind of contradictory, but that's just what stood out from listening to you guys was, is there a way to make it a positive change instead of taking away or costing more? Go.
I just wonder is let's say we did cut out cleaning. What is the likelihood that that sticks through the whole budget process and doesn't get put back in as it moves through? Is it worth that effort? But as opposed to maybe, you know, you have, here's your parking tax, and here's what you want. If you want this, then this is your tax. Everything you want comes with a cost. But if they're not willing to do it, then you come up with the alternative. Okay, we can get this if we implement paid parking, assuming that generates enough revenue. And I heard you say earlier, it's a, but does it have to be, I'm just asking, does it have to be an either or, a downtown tax or paid parking? It can't be both?
I think that that's a really good question. I think what I've always heard from businesses and from Councilor Mayor is that you would have to, in order to get support from the businesses, you would have to take away the tax from them. But I don't know that, Alan, that would certainly give more funding. But I also think that if we could get, you know, the parking system stabilized, there may be more interest in putting back in the EID, which is a tax, you know, to the property owner, not a tax to a business, to help raise more money for those events and marketing and promotion, and they would be then more on point for, you know, holiday lights, banners and stuff. It would not be a burden on a parking thing, but it would be another source of revenue, kind of like a BID. But I think in this community, it's kind of like what Vincenzo said, you know, what do I get for it? So I don't know if we could hold on to the parking tax.
It certainly wouldn't be a preference, but if you trying to sell the paid parking, you can say, well, this is one way to pay for all the services you want. If you're not willing to pay for it, somebody has to. You know, here's your win. You're relieved of that burden. Doesn't mean you as a business can't help subsidize some of those customers that utilize your business to do that. But if you want $100 worth of groceries, someone's got to pay $100.
I think to Charles's point, like, I think we've said a lot of the positive things. I don't know if there's the, I don't know who the person would be to organize sort of like a marketing campaign that, you know, says something like, you know, pay to play or something, you know, something about positive, like you said, all the great things we want downtown, Cherie, like Christmas lights, you know, cleaning, obviously, but activities, events that are organized and, you know, all these great things that I think just about everyone would be in favor of, and it is all positive stuff and really exciting. And you're saying, you know, we pay the meters and we get to get all this great stuff.
And well, and we talked about, I mean, it was a couple of years ago. I remember, God, it was something about the salmon, and we couldn't open something, and so we were like, let's spin it so it says, you know, thank you for your patience. This is to ensure blah blah blah. So it was like
the bridge.
Mm-hmm. The
Peter Courtney Bridge, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so I guess this is that kind of thing where this is my interest of like, how can, do we have like a marketing team in the city, or is it something that we need to not outsource because we don't have the money, but can we partner with other people to, because we're all the people, like I said, that have the buy-in.
The ideal world,
all these things.
I think the ideal world would be, yeah, the businesses organize it. I mean, if Main Street, could sort of chart, put the charge out there and, you know, get a, you know, solid group of businesses signing on and, you know, putting the banners in their windows or whatever, mm-hmm. just kind of building that sort of public support so that, like Cherie said, that then when the council is considering it, it's an easy decision for them.
But I guess my thing is that we also know that Main Street doesn't have the funding that they need to do whatever they could do. So it has to be a you know, a stable substantial organization that has clout.
I don't know the history. I'm sure there's plenty, but I would want to lean on the chamber for this sort of thing. You mentioned, sure, that's how it worked. Was it in Santa Fe or wherever else? Or Santa, I don't know, the other city. And also,
Charles, are you not hanging on all my words too?
What? Well,
Vincenzo, come on, sense. You guys. Tacoma.
Well, there was some.
I was gonna, and Pasadena. Is that right?
That's close. Closer. That's closer to Santa.
Okay. I was like, I know Pasadena.
I just love
Pasadena is beautiful.
Yeah.
The streets are so clean.
I think it should be the chamber, and also because the meters rhymes with greeters, so I feel like it's meant to be. No?
Very good. We've got the tagline. We got the tagline for that. So a Main Street has a long ways to come to be well organized, and I agree. I think the chamber would be far better at just because of their position and their acceptance. I agree with you, Charles. I think Main Street could eventually be a support system, or potentially maybe marketing, but not at this state, not where we are now.
So do we want to do a subcommittee of, because I would be fine doing something like that, to talk with Tom at Chamber and get, you know, maybe, again, what's her name, Travel Salem, just spacing her, Angie, and just having an unusury and just having like a, this is where we're at, this is what we're doing. It doesn't need to, then we can get other stakeholders, obviously community and businesses, but like the top people to get together to say, how do we trickle this down? Because I want paid parking.
Well, again, I think, you know, if you create a subcommittee, then I need to take minutes, and I need to have all that available. If you do like what you and Aaron did when you met with the mayor, you just as the members of the board chose to meet and just get a sense of if there was support or not. I mean, we invited Tom to DAB. That was a great idea. We have never really had a relationship with them. That was a great place to start. They came, they talked to us about who and what they are. We shared who and what we are. We could always, you know, invite them back to have another of, this is, you know, where we're going and this is kind of what's happening. Obviously, I'm sure that they hear about the homelessness. That's what everybody hears about. So parking used to be what everybody talked about, but it's a homelessness that everybody talks about. But, you know, if a couple of you met with them and they were, like, supportive, it was something that they'd be interested in, we could then bring them back to the full board. Or, again, we can have an official subcommittee meeting. It's just different than like what you and Aaron did. If you vote on a subcommittee and you have members of a subcommittee, then there's requirements of how we make that transparent with the public. But I just want to make sure to share too, DAB's always taken the approach of the education piece too. You had your meeting, even though we didn't get as many turnout for it, but the goal of that meeting was education, to let people know who the advisory board was and to also test the waters as far as what's everybody thinking for about downtown paid parking. So things like the sandwich board signs, things like you're responsible for keeping things clean, things like you're not supposed to blow the leaves into the street without picking them up, which is another one of mine every day I see happen. I mean, that could be simply, you know, did you know, or, you know, part of, if you're part of downtown, this is, you may not know, but this is kind of, you know, the education piece. You may not know, but a permit's required for a sandwich board sign. You may not know that, you know, keeping that, I mean, if there's ways to present information about the codes, more in education versus you're doing something wrong and you're in trouble. So the education piece has always been a part of what DAB has always thought was their kind of their role to about what happens in downtown. So I can think about the best way to kind of get the answers to some of those questions and educate people to help out in downtown, especially if there's any thought that we would present something that would take away some of the cleaning or whatever in downtown. I think Alan asked a question. If you chose to present a budget that took away a police officer, took away cleaning, took away some of those things, how would it go? Would it move forward through the budget process? Who knows? I mean, typically the board makes a recommendation and then, you know, the city manager and the director look at it. Usually they're presented with both. So if you're a council member, you see DAB's recommendation, you're going to see the difference, if there is a difference between DAB's and what city manager is presenting. It's not uncommon that they're different. It's just always kind of been like that.
When will we?
The goal is to have a match, but they don't always match.
When will we know? Because Steve is leaving this year, right?
End of February.
End of February is, what's that process in terms of getting, because obviously that's another stakeholder that you need to have a part of that conversation, right? Excuse me.
So right now, I think that they're hiring a third-party consultant to spearhead the recruitment for the city manager. Kristen has been asked to be acting city manager until Steve's replacement is in place. I think the goal is to try to have his replacement done by June, but with the way the job market is and all the challenges right now, could be fall. She's indicated she won't be applying for that job, so she'll be coming back here when that recruitment is over. Urban Development is going to have Norm Wright, who's over, he's a director of CD. He'll be available to us in the interim. If any of you know Annie Gorski, she's taken a job in Montana, and she leaves into February. Also, and she's a deputy to Kristen. So, not changes, you know, clearly, but yeah. So Kristen, obviously, because she knows us, she'll be the city manager. But I doubt in the time that she's in there, they'll be, you know, because we have the elections and stuff aren't for a while. But yeah, so we are losing some of the people that you talked to. But it is, again, kind of like with Aaron, the timing will be interesting. Obviously, Councilor Stapleton, I don't think it's going anywhere, and you guys have already had a great conversation with her. You've already queued up your concerns about parking in the communication you sent during budget and in the meeting that we had with her.
So, Cherie, do you feel that it might be helpful if a couple of the DAB members met with the mayor and to get a feel, and then would you go ahead and start to review the potential of having an educational presentation that we as a board could do to the businesses and the and if building owners wanted to join, that we could do so we could educate them on the costs and sort of promote the concepts of what they're responsible for and what can be done by the city or what is to be done by the city and the structure of the budget and how we can't do much because of the budget. Is that something that we could maybe plan for later in 2022, spring, summer?
I think it was a good idea that Vincenzo had that that you connect with the chamber. The mayor's already kind of given us, I think he gave Aaron and Vincenzo the same message I've always received from him in regards to paid parking. It needs to come from the businesses. The businesses come forward, then there'll be that support. I think that's been consistent, so, but we don't know about the chamber. Haven't asked the same questions to the chamber that was asked of the mayor, but you know, I think we need to wait for the new mayor to get a sense of, I think keeping Councillor Stapleton, you know, up to date on what you're thinking, make sure she knows that in addition to homelessness, this is still a budgetary thing that is important to all of you. And yeah, I'm going to work with Rebecca on some type of educational piece and then figure out the best way to share that type of communication, and that's just for the good of downtown. That's
would you like the order. Would you like one of us to reach out to the chamber?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already talking with Tom about some other stuff, so I'm happy to talk to him about this. I think the only thing is I probably won't like have the most like in-depth understanding to be like, this is what we've been talking about and needing and everything. So that's why I was like, Sheree, would it be something that me and you at least could talk to Tom sure. So that it gets more of an understanding. So I'm not just being like, we want it.
I certainly can give the historical, okay. You know, kind of framework to what the board's been looking at and the history to the best of my.
Well, Sheree was just at a luncheon with yesterday. We've been seeing lots lately, and I'd like to be part of that conversation.
Wonderful.
Thanks. Sheree, would you mind sending me Quandary's email too so I can just have it all in an email together?
Are you good with that, Quandary?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
So I want to jump real quick to Riverfront. So I think during this year, Aaron has mentioned to me, let's do more streetscape than what we've done. And what I mean by that is, historically, the board has been very consistent and has been very helpful to staff in knowing where you want the money to go, the priorities. It's historically been keep the money in the grant programs, because that way, when you have a Penny's building owner or a Nordstrom's building owner, or if somebody wants to go into TJ Maxx or Liberty Plaza or the Pit, we can be there to help. We have the money. We've prioritized having money to try to come in, and we've done a really good job of having that money to help get bigger projects into downtown. So I just wanted to check in on that. And then the second priority has been streetscape. We know it's going to have to be done in phases, and we know it's going to have to be done over several years, but there isn't anything that says we can't put more money towards it and do more larger areas sooner. Obviously, a piece of that would be a conversation with Public Works as to their capacity to take on more blocks. But I just wanted to touch base on that because we've also had in the budget smaller type of projects. And I'm thinking maybe this year we just really focus on keeping the grants available and streetscape as the top two things we put money towards. Hold some money in there for acquisition opportunities because just in case, you never know. And then kind of in the back of our minds know that we would want to have, we can't put it in the budget, we wouldn't want to state it, but just kind of remember that if there was going to be a paid parking system implemented, we would need to have some money for paying for the equipment to get that in place. I just kind of wanted to know what you all thought about that. And then, of course, we've got this one-off of possibly parkade improvements, too. What are you all thinking about that?
Well, I'll start out.
Yes, Charles.
Yeah, I think that that is a, I would say that based on our previous meetings, that that would be what we would all be in agreement of. And I think that that should be the direction. Does anyone else have any opposing comments or additional items?
I'll say it again since it's my last meeting, that I just don't want to have happen downtown what's happened in the past, which is you come up with a streetscape design, you implement a couple blocks, and then economic crisis, whatever, things change, and then it never, and then we have just total mishmash of multiple different styles and designs, and none of them ever really became a cohesive and, you know, was never really implemented. So that's where I keep beating that drum. And I know everyone's in agreement, so I'm preaching to the choir, but that's where it's coming from. It's like, I would love to see us do as much as possible so that it just doesn't fizzle and die and not really happen.
Well, correct me, Aaron. I believe you had asked and tasked Cherie to find out if that could be sped up to make sure that it doesn't get waylaid or overseen or taken away because we have a financial crisis or something that comes up and says, well, we need the money, we can't do this anymore. So again, I think that that's what Cherie is trying to say. She wants to push those forward. Did I hear that correct, Cherie?
Yes, so right now, I mean, last year it was frustrating because with COVID and because of the challenges with businesses, I was asked to choose phases or locations that had the least disruption ability of businesses. So we were trying to find locations that if we did streetscape, it wouldn't be a real negative impact. I mean, for example, if I did Court Street between Liberty and Commercial on the north side where Venti's and Great Harvest and there's all these restaurants at a time when they're trying to get back on their feet, that would not have been a good time to do streetscape there where the sidewalks ripped up. However, that is probably one of the areas that needs it more than anything else because, you know, the city came in and removed all those trees there, so it really looks pretty awful right now. So we went and did it in places to kind of keep going where we started, to kind of fill in. So, you know, you'll be seeing probably in February, they're going to finish the south side on Court Street there by Music Court because we did the north side. So now we're filling back in on the south side. And then we'll be trying to connect up to where we did it on State Street. And then I was out today because we're going to try to do, you know, Court Street on Commercial, come up to Chemeketa. Then with the goal of when we do the UGM redevelopment, we would be putting streetscape then that connected. But again, these locations do not have the same type of businesses, so the impact's not the same. And then in 2023, we'll be doing it around where the new 162 unit project will be with the Nordstrom's building. So I'm trying to be as strategic as I can, but I'm scheduled to be in a meeting with Public Works, and I am going to ask about the capacity to take on doing more streetscape. But I think when we have the budget discussion, it just needs to be really clear in our recommendations that that's where our focus is. We put the money behind trying to, you know, trying to say that that's our priorities. We don't have any.
Yeah, I would say we want to make sure that that is our priority. And until we have, I think it's better to have streetscape take place in areas and put bark down until we have the money to do maintenance, and then we can go in and plant and bring it. I think it's better to get the infrastructure in place, because that's what we've needed for a long time, is the infrastructure. Are we going to turn some of the east-west streets into two-way like we did State? Is Chemeketa going to get turned?
No, Court Street's on the schedule to get converted to two-way this year in our budget.
Okay.
So we did State Street, but remember, we can only do it within our riverfront boundary. So those streets go further east, but we can't go to the church. Right. And the Court Street one will be more expensive than State because we have two signals. But yeah, that is in the works, because the majority of those projects identified in the Salem Mobility Study, we have done.
Okay.
Over the years, we have done pretty much every one of those recommendations that's within our boundary to fund it.
I will note, I also want to just say that it was confusing when streetscape was happening on State Street, because there was also the curve outages that were happening, and I thought that was part of streetscape and would tell people that, and so I learned, was corrected. But there was a lot of construction going on that was not necessarily involved in streetscape. So
we won't have that confusion, because we're, you know, the Busey Court is kind of not in the area where they will be dealing with two-way, but yes, that became part of the education piece. All the complaints had nothing to do with streetscape. It had to do with platforms, closures to support the businesses, and then some work that was done as part of the two-way and dealing with the curbs to make them more ADA compatible. So, but obviously streetscape is the problem. And I wasn't even part of streetscape, but that's okay. That's okay. Well, I know we are running out of time, but I wanted to let everybody know that next month, he couldn't make it this month, but I'm bringing Robert Chandler in to talk to us about the amphitheater booking practices. I know everybody is interested in that, so I was hoping to get him this month, but he had a conflict, so I didn't forget. He'll be here next month to talk through whatever the city's practices are, policies relating to that. I'm very interested in that myself.
All right. Well, great. Then we'll look forward to that in the January meeting. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, I think that we all would like to keep you as a consultant and to utilize your knowledge and your just your reasonableness in so many things. I think, if nothing else, I might reach out to you, but I'm hoping you'll be willing to at least give us opinions or sort of a bearing on things if we...
Of course.
So, So I think was there anything about what's coming to downtown or any what's going on downtown?
Are we getting a Whole Foods yet?
Are we getting what?
A Whole Foods yet?
No, we're not getting a Whole Foods. I'm so
that's
sorry.
My next project. The street parking, paid parking is not a Whole Foods.
I think I told you last month that we bought the ABC building. I also know that Bill Putney's property is for sale, which is interesting. So we have ours all fenced now, and I'm working through some historical challenges. We got the hazmat document back, 371 pages, so now I can incorporate that into my scope. So moving things along, but what I think is very interesting is that probably once a month, another staff person, or I just get an email from people that want to be contacted when we go out with our solicitation for redevelopment. So I find that very exciting and good news that there's a certain level of interest already in that property before we've done anything. It's kind of like, oh good, I guess we can sell it then easy. So yeah. But anyway, happy holidays to all of you, and thank you so much for all the support you give me. It's very appreciated.
Thank you, Sheree.
Yeah,
thank
you, Sheree. For all of your work.
Aaron, don't go. Thank you, everyone.
All right, everyone. I'll call the meeting to adjournment. Thank you for coming and all of your great input. Really appreciate it.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays. Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Thank you. Mm-hmm.